Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you again for the gift of life and for the joy which we have to come apart on this holy day to study your holy word. Father, we continue to plead with you to enlighten our hearts and our understanding, that the word may enter into our minds and transform us and make us into reflectors of the glory of Christ. We offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. Last night, our subject was what? Near the church, far from God. This morning, what was our subject? Our first subject? Going where no man has gone before. I'm asking these questions so you can answer me, not so that I can just feed you all the answers. A few minutes ago, what was our subject? A surprising secret. The answers are right here. About eternal life. Now, what is this afternoon subject? The secret to uncovering secrets. And what is the theme of this weekend's spiritual revival? Secrets of the unknown. And the reason why I chose that is because according to Friday night's message, we don't really know who we are. This morning's message, the word of God goes between the joints and the marrow, levels of which we are not even aware. And just this afternoon, we talked about a surprising secret of eternal life. It comes to us through the word. And now we will talk about the secret of uncovering secrets. In Matthew chapter 13 is contained a concentration of parables. It is a fairly long chapter, and it has perhaps seven parables. I believe it is the single chapter in Scripture that has most parables, and that's a careful guess, because I did not check every chapter in the Bible. But I believe Matthew, if not the whole Bible, certainly the New Testament, is the chapter that has more parables than any other chapter, and it is most known or best known for the parable of the sower who went forth to sow seed. So Jesus told this parable, and before he explained it, the disciples were a little puzzled. They were always puzzled. Why Jesus spoke in parables? Because not only did the listeners not get it, very often the disciples themselves didn't get it. So they were probably wishing that Jesus would make it much more easy for them by speaking plainly. And so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, I believe it is, the Bible says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you do that? You're confusing them and you're confusing us. Why do you speak to them in parables?" Sometimes when you study the Bible, you probably wish the Bible were much simpler than it is. I wish this thing would come to me more quickly. I wish it were as plain as black and white. Why do I have to study? Why line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept? Why do I need a concordance to go through every verse that has righteousness in order to understand the theme of righteousness? Why all this work? Jesus responded in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because to you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To them it is not given, but unto you it is given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Now, how does a human being understand a heavenly mystery? Jesus calls the mystery, and the word mystery occurs fairly often in the New Testament. How can I understand something declared by Jesus Christ to be a mystery? And it's a mystery not with earthly origins. If it is an earthly mystery, I have a fighting chance of unraveling this thing. It is a heavenly mystery. How do I understand? Now he goes on, I'll come to that. In the next verse he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. To whom is Jesus speaking? Come on, to whom is he speaking? To the disciples. About whom is he speaking? The larger congregation, or the larger audience, the non-disciples. Jesus says, whosoever hath, verse 12 of Matthew 13, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that he hath. Next verse. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, hearing or having eyes, see not. Or they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Now what does this mean? Neither do they understand. Is Jesus Christ being unfair to the larger listeners who stood by and listened to his word? Is he showing favoritism to the disciples? No. Because he says the same things to the disciples in Mark chapter 8. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. The secret of uncovering secrets. Mark chapter 8. Reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 8. Reading from verse 14. The Bible says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the boat with them more than one loaf. Verse 15. Jesus says something to them. He says, take heed, beware of what? The leaven of whom? Of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Take heed, beware. Sometimes you find Jesus saying, take heed. Sometimes you find him saying, beware. Here you have him combining both. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Next verse. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. That he's telling us to beware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. The disciples always, almost always missed the spiritual point, because their focus was always physical, always secular, always earthly. And when your focus and my focus is secular, we will miss spiritual lessons. And we see that in the lives of the disciples. So they reasoned among themselves, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not? Neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Seeing, having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not, do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, verse 21, how is it that ye do not understand? Now you will observe that he says to them the same thing he said of the larger audience that was listening to him. Having eyes, ye see not. Having ears, ye hear not. You see, it isn't whether you're a disciple or you're not a disciple. Understanding God's word has to do with a determination, a willingness, a seriousness to understand what is in the word of God. A pursuit of truth is essential. It calls for a heart that wants truth. And so Jesus says to them, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, ye see not. Verse 18. Mark chapter 8. And having ears, ye hear not. Do ye not remember? Christ was trying to say, look, what I am telling you when I tell you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, it has nothing to do with physical bread. I can give you bread. Were you not there when I fed 5,000? How many baskets full did you pick up? 12. When I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many baskets full did you pick up? 7. Well, how come you don't understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about bread, even though I use the word bread or leaven. I'm not talking about bread. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, we have Matthew telling the same incident as we continue with the secret of uncovering secrets. Matthew tells us the same story, but the beautiful thing about the Gospels, they may all say the same thing, but they give different details. And so in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, beware, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of whom? The Sadducees. So we have three groups. In Mark chapter 8, verse 15, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. In Matthew 16, verse 6, we have now the Sadducees. Jesus is saying, you be careful what the Pharisees say. Be careful what the Sadducees say. Be careful what Herod says. It is almost a universal caution. You be careful what anyone says which is not in harmony with this. You've got to be careful. You've got to watch it. Let me say something carefully. You've got to watch what some Adventist ministers say. Did you hear me? And I'm not beating up on anyone. You've got to watch what some people say from this desk. And so Jesus says, beware of the leaven, Matthew 16:6, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And in Mark 8:15, we have of the Pharisees and of Herod. And so whatever source of false doctrine comes at us, we must be careful. What is our protection? This word of God. And of course, the very next verse, the Bible says, and they reasoned among themselves, verse 7 of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus spoke to them, they reasoned among themselves, it is because we have taken no bread. That's the same thing they said in Mark chapter 8, verse 16. But in verse 12 of Matthew 16, Jesus explains, because Jesus must have taken pity on his bumbling, stumbling disciples. And so in verse 12, the Bible says, then understood they how that he told them, not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which would also include of the doctrine of Herod. Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine. You see, the Pharisees believed in all this. They had a hedge about the law of God. They believed in works. The more works you do, the closer you got to God. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, nor angels. At one point, I forget the chapter in Acts, Paul was being tried. And when Paul realized there were Pharisees and Sadducees in this council trying him, he started talking about the resurrection. And then an argument broke out between the two groups, and they forgot Paul. See, the Christian must use his head and her head at all times. But the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. The Pharisees believed in righteousness by works. And of course, Herod believed in secularism. Herod couldn't care less about the kingdom of God. Herod was concerned with his position in this world. And too many of us are wrapped up with our position where we are and not concerned with our position in Christ. Jesus says, beware of all of that. Now, how can we beware? We are aware, and we can beware through the word of God. Notice what Jesus says, take heed and beware, Matthew 16:6, Mark 8:15, of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, Mark 4:8-15, of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Matthew 16:6. What is leaven? Leaven is a little ingredient that is put into what? A large thing. It's a lump of dough. I don't bake, I can't bake, but I love people who bake, and I love what they bake. Leaven is yeast. that is put in small quantities in a large lump. Now, Jesus didn't say, beware of the lump of the Pharisees. He didn't say, beware of the lump of Herod. Beware of the lump of the Sadducees. Because we can see a lump when it's coming. We don't always see the yeast. So the devil does not come as the devil. He comes as an angel of light. He didn't come at Eve as he was. He came through the serpent. Jesus says, beware of the leaven. Because a little error that gets into your heart and remains in your heart and mind will leaven what? The whole lump. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5, reading from verse 6 and 7, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge it out. For Christ our Passover is crucified for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened what? Bread of sincerity and truth. Paul tells us we need to purge what? The old leaven. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. What's the difference between the new lump and the old lump? The old lump has leaven. What does the new lump have? No leaven. No impurities. Let me say it again. We take pride in our church, and I make all these generalities about the church. I go from place to place. We defend our right to believe whatever we want. You believe Jesus had a fallen nature. You believe Jesus had a divine nature. I believe he had a combination of the two. I believe angels are male and female. I believe you could pray to God and say, dear God, how are you doing? God is a woman and she saved us. We believe whatever we want to believe. And we have the right. We defend our right to believe different things. Do you know before Christ comes, we shall all believe the same thing? I can't wait. All error purged from God's people. Listen to me. All error. Paul tells us, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. And the new lump has no leaven. No leaven whatsoever. Purge it out, he says. There were seven feasts the Israelites were required to celebrate. The first one was Passover. The second one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, all leaven was removed from the camp of the Israelites, representing the removal of all sin, and by the words of Jesus Christ, the removal of all words that are false and contrary to the pure word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of whom? God. And so we must purge this leaven. And so Jesus tells the disciples, beware. Leaven of the scribes, of the Pharisees, and of Herod, Mark 8, 15. He includes the Sadducees, Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Now the question then you must ask me, Elder Skeet, how do I purge out the old leaven? How do I do that? I would love to purge the old leaven so I can be a new lump with no leaven. How do I do that? John chapter 15. Let's read from verse 1. In studying the words of Christ, always keep in mind, Christ uses different symbols. In John 15, 1, he says, I am the true vine. In John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd and I am the door. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ has all sorts of things. He tries to use all these things that are familiar to us to give us an understanding that we may grasp what he's trying to say, that he is everything to us. My question was, how do I purge the old leaven? And Christ says that leaven is the doctrine. Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, and of course also of Herod. The leaven refers to false doctrine and refers to wickedness. Because in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, or with the leaven of malice and wickedness. So leaven refers to wickedness, sin, and false teachings. How do you purge it? I sent you to John 15, reading from verse 1. Read with me. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is what? The husbandman. So we have the Father, and we have the Son involved. Christ is the vine. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, the work of the Father is to keep this vine pure. Useless branches are removed. And Christ has already begun this shaking work in this church. It will become more furious as the Father removes useless branches and grafts on others that come in. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he purgeth it. And every branch that beareth fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now in verse 3 we read, now ye are what? Clean. The word there, clean, means purged. Now, how are you purged? Finish verse 3. How are you purged? Through the word. Which word? The word we've been talking about since last night. Now, let's make some connections. Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven. Which means we've got to be on our toes. Paul says, purge out the old leaven. And you ask, how? Jesus says, now ye are purged. The process of purging is not an automatic instant like being saved. When a sinner comes to Christ, Lord, I'm sorry, I accept you as my Savior, saved immediately. Now you've got to walk, saved walk. Purging is a process. Ye are clean, you are being cleansed by this word that I am putting into you. It will drive out all the leaven of malice and wickedness and false teachings. The word of God does the purging. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. How do you put away wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking with all malice? How? You don't make a decision on the church board, let us put away malice. You can't do it. The cleansing work is done by the word of God. So Paul says to Blythedale, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Different from the old lump. And what God wants to make of us is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. King James says, creature, creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You convert that to bread and yeast. Paul desires that we purge out the old leaven. Now, when he says purge out, I can't do it. You can't do it. Spiritual growth is not something we do. It is something we present ourselves to God that he might do. And he tells us now, here's how to put yourself in position for cleansing. Study my word. Pray. Purge it out. Let's go back to what Jesus said to those disciples in Mark chapter 8. Let's pick it up from verse 18. Where Jesus said to them, having eyes, ye do what? Ye see not. And having ears, ye what? neither, they don't see despite they have eyes, they don't hear despite the fact they have ears. Why? Because their hearts are not in it. And so the large crowd that followed Jesus, many of them followed them to see his miracles, to be healed, to be touched, but really not to be converted. People come to God for food. We come to God for healing. We come to God for everything except to be converted. And so the large crowd, they had ears, they didn't hear. Because you see, when it comes to God's word, you don't hear it with your ears, you hear it with your heart. You have eyes but can't see it because our eyes, our hearts are closed. And he tells the disciples the same thing. You don't understand what I mean by leaven. You're thinking of physical bread. You have eyes, you don't see, just like these people. You have ears, you don't hear, just like these people. There are some Adventists about confused about salvation as members of other churches are. If Christ were to come down physically and be with us, he would probably say the same thing with great embarrassment. You ask a group of Adventists about anything, and you're likely to get several different responses. Now, that's not a condemnation. That's just a description of the condition of our church. But it won't always remain like that. Because part of the shaking that God is carrying out will be to remove those whose hearts are not in this work. And those who remain, augmented by those who come in, they will be the ones from whom the old leaven will be absolutely purged. And this new lump, purged of all leaven, is the lump Jesus Christ will use to do his work in these last climactic closing days of Earth's history. And I want, as I've been saying all day, I want you to be a part of that lump. I want you to be a part of that vine. Notice the lump is purged. Notice the vine is purged. Whether you choose the symbol of a vine, you choose the symbol of a lump, whatever symbol you choose, there must be a cleansing work that goes on. And it's up to us in the sense that if we do not allow God to do it, he cannot do it. We must want it. When we want it with all our hearts, then having eyes, we see, and having ears, we hear. But unless the heart is fully committed, our eyes will not see and our ears will not hear. So according to John chapter 6, verse 25, when the crowd found Christ on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, after he fed 5,000, they said to him, Master, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Verse 26, Jesus answered said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracle. You're not following me because you saw the miracle. All you saw was bread. And you devoured it and it filled you. You did not see the miracle. And the miracle is that I can provide not just your physical needs. I can provide your spiritual need. That miracle of feeding the 5,000 was designed to teach that Jesus can take care of their spiritual needs the same way. And so he says in John 6:26 to people who were present, not because he saw the miracle. Their eyes were open. They did not see the miracle. In John chapter 12, from about verse 27, verse 28, Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. There came their voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore who stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. Jesus said, this voice came not for me, but for your sake. They had ears. They heard the voice of God. They said it was thunder. Others said it was an angel. They did not understand it was the voice of God. We can have ears and not hear. We can have eyes and not see. Until we put our hearts into this thing called a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let Jesus say about us what he told the disciples, having eyes you see not, because he said that about the larger group of people who were there. Jesus should say of us things different from what he says about the rest of the world. when our hearts are no different. The same condemnation he places on them, he must place on us. And to uncover God's word, to see it and to hear it, our hearts must be in it. It's not enough to come to Christ with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. It is through the heart that understanding comes. By the heart, of course, you know, I mean the mind. Is your heart, don't answer me, let me ask you, is your heart in this thing called a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is your heart in it? Is your heart in the Advent message? Is your heart in the push to have Jesus Christ come back soon so Iraq doesn't have to be obliterated, at least not by Bush? God will take care of that himself. Are our hearts, I should say, in this thing? Our tithe may be in it, our offering in it, but is the heart? You know, Jesus cries out in Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments all the days of their lives." Oh, that there was such a heart. What God wants is the heart. Once he has a heart to do it, he will work with us. But God has a lot of talented people and no heart. As long as that condition exists, we will see and not see. We will hear and not hear. For a knowledge of God's word is inseparably linked to a willing heart, a real earnest desire to understand. So that having ears, we hear. Having eyes, we see. We see the secrets of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, because they are for us to understand. You should be able to explain to anyone the 2300-day prophecy. You should be able to show how the Bible precisely predicted the date of Christ's birth. You should be able to show the conclusion of the period of probation for the Jews. You should be able to show that there is from Scripture something called an investigative judgment. We must be able to explain these things. And until they mean life and death to us, we won't do it. So may God touch our hearts. I mean touch our hearts. So that we may commit ourselves. I don't want to make you feel funny, but let me ask you this, but don't answer me. If you were in the hospital and someone called you and said, "Madam, are you a Christian?" "Yes." "The doctor said I have 5 minutes to live." What would you tell the person? What would you say? 5 minutes and I'm dead. What would you say? Someone comes to you, "Why should I be a Seventh-day Adventist? I've been a Lutheran all my life. Why should I be an Adventist?" What do you say? Paul says we must be ready to give what? A reason, an answer for the faith that we have. It is this that is the purging instrument or substance. This is what God uses to purge out the old leaven and to celebrate salvation with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let me ask you again, appeal to you 4 times, and if I were to speak to you 10 times, I'd appeal 10 times. Don't respond if it's not from your heart. How many of you really want to put your heart into your relationship with Jesus Christ? Let me see your hand, please. Okay. And one more question. How many of you want to put your heart into the Advent message because you believe we are God's unique people with a unique message? Let me see your hand. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again and we plead with you, Father. And again, I believe I speak for everyone listening. Lord, let us put our hearts, all of our hearts, into our relationship with Christ and into our relationship with this Advent message you have entrusted to us. Father, when you have all of our hearts, then we see things in your word. We understand. Having eyes, we do see. Having ears, we do hear. Let us not be like the larger crowd whom you said, having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not. Father, we don't want that remark from you. We want eyes that see and ears that hear, but at a spiritual level, that only happens when our heart is put into this relationship. We ask you to hear us, God. We beg you to hear us. Change our thinking. Transform our lives. Let us leave remembering that the eternal life you gave to us today through recommitment and rededication to you is preserved through the word referred to as bread, which we must eat. Let that word sink deep into our hearts to purify our motives, which will then produce the right works. Here is humble prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you have any short questions, we'll try to take them now. Any quick, short questions, we shall try to take them. If you don't have, that's okay. I know you're tired, but any questions that you have, ask quickly, not long, just questions, not mini sermons, you've had enough. Any short question you may have, I'll try my feeble way to answer you. No? All right. Okay. How many of you were blessed this weekend? Let me see your hands. God bless you. I was the most blessed. And always believe that. It is a high honor to preach God's word. It really is. And I'll tell you what makes a preacher even more excited. When he is talking to people who want to hear God's word, it makes all the difference in the world. And he will preach until he drops dead, as long as there are people willing to listen. And when I leave, I will leave with the conviction that I spoke to a church that was willing to listen. And I thank you for that. May God bless you. Remember the word of God. The word of God. When Jesus comes back, read Revelation 19. He has a name written on his thigh. It is the Word of God. That's his name. John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. So take God's Word into your heart. And let's all meet in the kingdom when Christ comes back. Thank you, and God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.